This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, 877-881-1053 if you want to get involved in the conversation on the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line. You can also hit us up on Twitch, on YouTube. We're going to go to baseball here. And again, kind of expanding on the most heartwarming story maybe you've heard in a long time, but certainly of spring training. So we talked about this when we were at spring training, the blanket that was there for Jake Berger's daughter, Penelope.
Yeah, and as of yesterday, we were like, man, did not ask who came up with the idea and all those things. And we were like, oh, man, there's a lot more to this story.
And I need to look more into this because I want to know more about the cause and effect. But their daughter, Penelope, she's 4 months old. She has Down syndrome, and she had to get an open heart procedure. And there's an article in the Dallas Morning News that made note, it's fairly common for children born with Down syndrome to need open heart surgery.
Adrian said absolutely yesterday whenever I was
reading this to her. I had no idea.
Yeah, Adrian was like, and you know what she does with my possibilities, she was like, I absolutely need to reach out and see what we can do there. But yeah, she said that is definitely the case. I didn't know either. But you know, having people in our world that know stuff like that, good to have around.
Yeah. And so first of all, that's just heartwarming that the Rangers would want to do this. And Jake Berger himself yesterday said, I didn't really know these guys until February 15th. And it was overwhelming in a really positive way. It made me really feel like part of the group. So what the Rangers did was they had this special blanket made up for Penelope, and they had all of the players sign it, all the hitters sign it. And the thing that we talked about, because we got to see several of the players sign it in the clubhouse, they were giving you the good signature.
Yeah, they were.
Like the big...
They're trying hard.
Yeah, this is the best signature I've got. And then in the Dallas Morning News article, they got a picture from the Berger family of the blanket hanging over Penelope's crib. And it was really heartwarming.
Yes, it is.
And everything like that. And Josh Young stood up in the hitters meeting, gave the gift to Berger. And you could tell, like, all people involved were emotionally affected by this. And you sent me the story, Corey, because I was really fascinated by this aspect of it. Offensive coordinator Donnie Ecker, who put together the blanket drive, saw an opportunity to. He saw the opportunity to reinforce the idea that he had gone through in the first hitters meeting. The offense functions better as a unit than it does as a set of individuals. And that makes sense when I hear it or when I read it, but I very rarely think about the offense as like a unit. And I'm like, man, this part of the offense looks really good, blah, blah, blah.
And we've talked to different managers, different coaches about the style. And, you know, when Mike and I've discussed this at a high school level, when you were growing up, the idea on a lineup was your leadoff hitter needs to be fast, needs to get on base and be able to steal bases. get to second base, and now your second hitter is either going to get walked or he's driving the other guy over. And then the third hitter should drive in two runs at least, unless he hits a home run. Like, that was always kind of the idea. But think about what I just said there. All three of those guys are relying on each other in order to get three runs in. And so when you go up to the plate and you're like, I'm about to hit a solo home run, that's not necessarily what's best for the group and best for the team. I need to get on base right now because I know Adolis is behind me. You know, like those are the ways that he wants them to think, in that we're trying to string together seven or eight hits in this inning that are going to put maybe three to four runs on the board, hopefully more. Hopefully we have a huge 23-run inning like that one college team did.
That was a record.
Like, that's what you're – so you're hoping that these guys, with their approach, just like Marcus Semien told us, look, I'm going up there hunting fastball, and if I see my pitch, I'm driving it, no matter when it is in the pitch count. But you're hoping the rest of the guys in the lineup are going up to the plate knowing what the situation is, supportive of each other, coming back with information from the batter's box about what they just saw from the other pitcher and saying, hey, dude, by the way, third pitch is going to be his changeup and it's moving out this. You want that kind of communication amongst your guys, because if they're just thinking about their stats and padding them, it's not going to be a useful product.
So what I keep thinking about for Jake Berger, first of all, I can't even fathom how difficult that is. And I have seen from the 817, my brother has Down syndrome. He was born with three holes in his heart. I appreciate people who are sharing like their personal stories. I think that's really incredible and really brave of you. I have a nephew with Down syndrome from the 817. They're typically born with holes in their hearts that require surgery. He is having his second open heart surgery this month. Our heart and my prayers go out to you guys. Again, I can't even imagine the mental part of going through that.
Did you see the rest of that text?
Oh, no.
He was born the night the Rangers won the World Series, 2 a.m. the next day.
Wow.
That's all. Well, so we're up here celebrating and everything.
So the Rangers,
you got a World Series celebration.
Yeah, you got a World Series,
baby.
We're going to take care of that,
love
baby.
It.
And just, I wonder about like Jake Berger's mindset of, I'll do anything for these guys in this team now. Like, maybe that's too simplistic. And he's like, hey, I just got here. I'm still worried about my family and everything. But to be welcomed in like that, I imagine that's got to really kind of galvanize your clubhouse and bring everybody together.
Well, I mean, when you kind of have that environment in the clubhouse where it seems like the doors are open for guys, then it doesn't create I got to go in there and just keep my head down and avoid everything. It seems like they're like, come in here and show us your personality. We want to know who you are because we want to know how you're going to fit in with this thing. And Jake seems to be the kind of guy from what we're hearing that he comes in. He what did Bochy say? He was like, he's just like Josh Jung. He's a Wash used to use the term dirtbag, and everybody was like, what? And he's like, no, man, that's like
a dirtbag.
It's a good thing. They just want to be on the baseball field. And the faster you find out about somebody and find out about what they are, the faster you know how they fit into the thing and what y'all are trying to do together. So that, like, I think, and it sounds like from this article, Josh Jung's at the forefront of that and in the inviting everybody in part and being a leader. For me, Kevin, though, and I don't know if we wanted to dive into this.
Yeah, go for it.
It's interesting because Josh Jung hasn't played a lot.
Right.
He did win a World Series with this team.
Yes, he did.
And he is a young feature on this team that's going to be around for a while, as long as that contract that is going to be on its way pretty soon. And I think Boris is his agent. But it's interesting that as young as he is, he already has that valuable of a leadership role in this clubhouse. And it's because a guy like Corey Seager doesn't have an interest in being a leader. He's like, I'll be on the team. And I'm going to be my, Evan Grant said in the story, his own personal excellence.
Yeah.
You know, I've got that and it's going to help this team. Guess what, guys? Whenever we're in the World Series, I'm going to deliver and we're going to celebrate and party. But I don't have an interest in 162 games being the guy that's rallying everybody every single night. I just want to go do my job. And that's fine. You know, and that being said, we did hear in the offseason that he's learned Spanish so he can communicate with the Latin players better. And they love it.
I mean,
so that's awesome to hear from Seager.
And how could you not, right? Like, the guy who's the best player on your team is actively trying to make a better effort, mm-hmm. or even make an effort
to communicate.
Yeah, to communicate, to understand, to get along, to bond, like all those different things. And so, and I know it works both ways. I know there are plenty of Latin players that have vastly accelerated their English abilities to like do the same thing. So yeah. I think it's really cool that you have both parts of the locker room that are like, hey, I want to learn for my teammates. Hey, I want to learn for my teammates. You know, yeah. Like, I think that's really cool.
When you, it is the idea of when your boss does the most menial work that they could possibly do that you hate doing and they're doing it. You're like, well, crap, he's doing that. I guess I have to too. You know, like Simeon in my mind is like Michael Young. He doesn't have to talk. He just goes out there and does his thing. And he is the perfect example of what you should do if you want to have a long pro career. You got to go to work like this every day and be ready for this kind of mindset. And then we've heard about Evaldi.
Yeah.
In Evaldi's approach, he's buying rookies Rolexes. He's doing all these things to create this environment. But as Evan Grant points out, Evaldi's role, because he's a pitcher, sometimes might not carry weight with everybody else. Josh Young, however, wants it. You saw it last year during the season when he wasn't around the team the right way. There's no Bash Brothers with him and Adolis.
Right.
You know, that's missing from the club. So I love seeing that he's at the forefront of this. I'm kind of curious how that worked, though, because, again, not around a lot, but I guess his personality is just that kind of personality in the clubhouse for them.
Will you allow a shout-out for one of the kiddos that's had surgery?
Yes.
All right. So shout out to Smith. That is this person's nephew's name. Hope everything goes well with the surgery. And from the 214, any support for a parent with special needs means so much. It's such a difficult thing. So kudos to the Rangers. And it was great the way they set it up, because they set it up specifically when they knew Berger wasn't going to be back to the clubhouse yet. And they got everybody involved. And again, I can't tell you how like oddly gratifying it was to see each player would kind of step up to the blanket, and they would kind of like sometimes deep breath it and like,
yeah.
And then hold that blanket as tight as conceivably possible, so you could get like the best possible signature on there, knowing that like, that's not necessarily the most meaningful part, but they're like, this is my part that I can do. And I want to give little Penelope like the coolest signature. And I think that's really neat. Whether or not that ends up making a difference, you know, in game one, game 81, or game 162, don't know, but I think it's cool. Now, I'm not going to steal Gavin Dawson's specific saying, but we do have,
see you later.
But we have,
see me, beer me,
a little bit of time on the clock. And I feel like I have some information about soccer.
We need to wait like another 2.5 minutes.
Oh,
though.
You can.
Otherwise, it's 2.5 minutes on soccer. And
okay.
That's not a good alliteration.
I'm going to try to give you 59 seconds on soccer, because I don't want to rip off Gavin Dawson all the way.
59 seconds on soccer.
Just most of the way.
We also used to have a segment called 2 Minutes in Yoga Pants. That was a nighttime segment. It was awesome.
I missed that.
We just talked about people we saw in yoga pants that day.
So yesterday, we told you that the Communication Center for the 2026 World Cup would be here in the Metroplex, essentially the Radio Row, for the World Cup. But I want to take it one step further. The United States and Mexico are now heavy favorites to co-host the 2031 Women's World Cup. Now, we got a little bit jobbed on the 2026 World Cup and didn't get the final. Now's the time to make it right. 2031 World Cup final at AT&T Stadium. And as much as I would love for the men's team to be there for the semifinals in this next World Cup, I feel infinitely more confident that the women's team could be there at the end for their World Cup. So make it happen, FIFA. 2031 Women's World Cup, co-hosted by the United States and Mexico, with the final at AT&T Stadium, and the United States wins it all, so we can finally have a championship in that building.
And on this soil.
It feels like we have, that's true.
I mean, I guess we did win, you know.
What was the end of the soil sentence?
Our freedom.
Oh,
whenever we fought the British.
That's a good point.
We won on our soil. I have a question, and I feel like it's going to set the fan text on fire.
Oh, dear.
Soccerers. Why do we stink so much in international play? Why can't we win?
For the men.
Yeah, for the men. Women are fantastic. The men stink.
You know how women are.
Yeah.
Okay, well, PJ Washington, they're awesome. You're right.
Great at soccer. But why are we not good? Like, I there's a lot of different reasons. I feel like it starts with political. Like, and I'm not talking about like politics, political, like Nancy Pelosi type stuff. I'm talking about like the politics of the soccer, United States soccer. There's politics within it. I know that's a big reason, but why do we stink? Are we not? Do we just not have talent? What is it that we? Why can't we? Sometimes not even make the World Cup. Like, that's happened before. The only reason we're hosting it is so that we could be in the World Cup.
There is a tiny part of me that thought about that. They were like, well, we're in this.
United States, y'all still kind of believe in all this stuff, and y'all are making money for us, so we kind of need you in this thing. Y'all got a lot of people. Why do we stay? 877-881-1053. If you know soccer, tell me. Why do we stink in international play?
Okay. And
thank you.
If you're in the General Euless area, you can make your way to Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers off of State 121 and ask Gavin Dawson, why do we stink at soccer?
Yes.
While also buying one cheeseburger and getting the second one for free.
What a day.
Just saying, trying to help out.
Cheeseburgers are amazing.
Coming up next, we move into the expressway and it's going to be jam-packed. We've got another edition of Puck Around and Find Out. Can I convince you to start watching and loving college basketball part 4 and NFL overreaction or reality? Woo! We'll get to it next right here in the Fan.
Bears are going to try to go without a huddle now. Fields back in the gun on second down and 9. Back to throw. Here comes trouble, and he's going to be taken down by Osa Odighizuwa.
Shameless plug alert. DFWfavorites.com. I just voted for Franklin Frankel for best personal injury attorney in the DFW.
Good for them. You might
be like, good. That's helpful. What else can you do to help us out? All right, Corey, here's what we can do. If you live in Granbury or near Granbury, Chris Arnold, 3 to 5 at Casey's Pizza today off of Weatherford Highway. And then the G-Bag Nation is going to be doing their show as part of the grand opening at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers off of 121 in Euless. Buy one cheeseburger, get one free.
Okay. I just want to point out, we went to the one in Arizona.
It was really good.
And I need to post my pictures because I took some pictures of my burger. I had a steakhouse burger. The patty on this thing was 2 knuckles thick, right? Like that thing, it was
this
thick.
What it says in the menu.
It was this thick about, and that was cooked.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can imagine what, everything that they had on the menu, I liked. Their garlic fries made with real garlic, not just like a dusting of garlic, like real garlic flavor. They have some really good stuff. Go see the G-Bag Nation. Let us know how you feel about what their food is because we really liked it a lot.
You know what I think would be a fun bit if you go out there? Continue to order cheeseburgers and give your free one to Eric and see how long before he just passes out.
He won't.
You're probably right.
That dude,
you're probably right.
He ate the boomstick burger.
That's
2 feet of burger.
That's a lot. Now, some NFL overreaction or reality. I'm going to start with, I think this is going to be an affirmative for both of you, but always good to be certain. Overreaction or reality? You really like the Osa extension.
I do. Because this is just me knowing Eberflus and what he's done, he's going to be great in their defense. I think they're going to use him a specific way that's, his best attributes are going to be highlighted.
Okay.
And he's good at what he does. And did you hear him with Kay Adams talking about, I got, my mom doesn't have to worry about a house. Mom, I had a moment afterwards when I sat down with my mom and I took care of her forever. And I love that part of it.
I thought you were mentioning the part that I also saw where he did not know that Mike McCarthy didn't get another job.
That's a little, but they're players. A lot of times they don't even know who their coaches are on the other side of the field. Like they're like, who's that offensive guy?
Alec,
but I really do like the move.
Alec, you support this Osa extension.
I do for those two reasons exactly. One, I feel like you did get a great deal, and it did sound like from everything Broadus was telling us that he did turn down a good amount of extra money from elsewhere to make this happen.
Very nice.
You know, which, you know, that
face Cleveland.
Exactly, because who wants to play there anymore? We were talking about destination cities and teams earlier. It's not Cleveland. Take that, ooh. Derek. And two, Corey touched on it really well. The whole Matt Eberflus thing, it sounded like he really wanted that true three tech to make his system run right. He needs that. He really needs that enforcer up the middle. He needs a run stuffer. He needs a guy that can have power and finesse. That is Oso Digizua. The fact that he got that and what it sounds like at a discounted rate, I love it. I love everything about it.
NFL overreaction to reality, and this might seem like a big swing, and I can give you a list if you would like. Saquon Barkley to the Eagles was the best free agent signing in history of the NFL. Now, big swing. CBS has it at number one. Second on the list? Well, Mr. Broadus definitely knows all about this one. Thank goodness for the Red Lobster. It is Reggie White to the Packers in 93. Peyton Manning to the Broncos in 12 is third. Drew Brees to the Saints. Kurt Warner to the Rams. And then Tom Brady to the Bucks. That's your top six.
Where's Deion on this list?
Deion Sanders is number seven.
And I don't even know, is it better?
But it's Deion Sanders going to the 49ers.
Okay, I was
going to
ask that. Like, him coming to the Cowboys, like, it solidified an already built Super Bowl team.
True.
And gave them a shutdown half the field guy. But that was a fantastic signing. Is recency bias involved with the Saquon Barkley thing, because Reggie White's effect on that Packers team was legendary.
Yeah.
And like Broadus will tell you, it was the everything they needed on that cake.
No, by the way, he had three sacks in that Super Bowl that they won.
Saquon Barkley?
No. Reggie White.
I'm just joking. I knew it wasn't.
Reggie White.
Kevin, it's all right.
Okay. I will listen to that. But
the one and two are very close to me for that one.
Do you feel good about top five then? Because here's the rest of the top five. Or if you didn't include Saquon. Reggie White to the Packers. Peyton Manning to the Broncos. Drew Brees to the Saints. Kurt Warner to the Rams. And Tom Brady to the Bucks. So those are some like super high profile moves.
So what's interesting about... Well, Brees wasn't necessarily...
This is
interesting.
You're right. In history now, they're super high profile. You're right.
But I was going to go back to this. Kurt Warner... At the time, nobody knew.
Yeah, nobody cared.
Nobody knew. Like, Barkley going, it was like everybody jaw-dropped.
Yeah.
Jaws dropped. Yeah. That's why I said it right. Everybody's jaw dropped. Except for the Giants. They were just like, yeah, we screwed up. Yeah. Like, they knew the whole time.
They watched Hard Knocks.
Reggie White was the same thing. Like, everybody knew this. Whoever gets this guy is going to be in a really good position. Drew Brees, people were like... His arm's done. He's too short anyway.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning, yes, that was a brilliant move by John Elway to go get one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
That everybody wanted.
And yeah, like, okay, brilliant move. But I guess the first two on this list, and then I'm going to Deion. I'm skipping past Brady, too.
Okay, Deion, 94. Does it impact it at all that it was just the 1 year?
Maybe a little bit. Maybe a little bit, but okay. To get over the Cowboys, they needed it.
Yeah.
And the only reason
they
beat the Cowboys was because of a damn pass interference call that was never called on Deion Sanders while Michael Irvin was set to get one on the 2 yard line. Emmitt would have punched it in. Cowboys would have gone back to back to back to back to back. I think that's four. I'm not sure.
I think you got it.
So I think that's just my opinion on this. I think the one and two, Barkley and Reggie White, are, you could interchange them. And then I would go Deion next. But the quarterbacks, obviously, those teams were needing that one thing.
Fun facts for you.
I guess they got great leadership out of Brees whenever that town needed it.
Who replaced Drew Brees? Do you remember?
The next year?
No, when he left for the Saints. Who replaced him with the Chargers?
Taysom Hill.
It was Philip Rivers. Philip Rivers.
Oh, the Chargers. My bad. Yeah. I was saying New Orleans. I was like, no. Huh?
And then remember, if not for an injury to Trent Green, perhaps you would not have seen that's not the one career of Kurt Warner.
That's not the one where he hit it. Was that Heath Shuler that hit his helmet on the padding and then like hurt his neck for the year or something? I can't remember.
Because I know that happened with a kicker as well, so I'm not positive about
that. I remember,
that.
Too, the Trent Green situation, Kevin, during that time, Kurt Warner and that team were on fire.
Yeah.
And the conversation was Trent Green shouldn't lose his job. Because
yeah, good call.
He got injured. They were like, just because you get injured doesn't mean you should lose your job.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, but do you see like this dude's on fire right now? Just like Dak and Romo.
I do get the argument in the moment if you're like the grocery store guy.
Yeah.
That's who we're going with. And but then it actually turned out to be amazing. All right. NFL overreaction or reality. Jackson Dart will be picked in the first round of the draft.
We've
talked about him moving up the boards.
I think he will.
Okay.
Because I do think if anybody has questions about Shador and like what he's going to be without his dad and can he do all these other things and they didn't love the combine, whatever. If they have any questions about it, then Jackson Dart's the next guy they're probably going to look at. I know there's some other names as well. That was Gus Frerotte, by the way, that did that the head. The Jackson Dart has done the Blake Bortles. He's done the Ryan Tannehill where he's just, everybody's like, hold on, what? Why is he climbing up the charts right now? So I do think a team is either going to pick him over Shador or they're going to get him shortly after and they are going to think they got the steal.
Spicy.
I have some very big questions about Jackson Dart because of what happened late in this season with Ole Miss. And with Lane Kiffin, whatever you want to say about him, he is a really brilliant offensive mind.
Yeah.
Like he has no personality unless he's typing things on Twitter, which are hilarious. But he is a brilliant offensive mind. I wonder if somebody can get that quarterback and say, I can do all the similar things.
Alec, Jackson Dart, first round pick, yay or nay?
Yeah, I think he's going to be this year's Bo Nix, where we're kind of like, what the heck? You know, like in the moment, we're like, that's interesting, but it's going to be one of those teams that's really committed, just like Sean Payton was with Bo Nix, where he's like, that's my dude.
Yeah.
Before we even drafted him, we're giving him the playbook and saying, start learning. Nobody's going to take you ahead of us because we know. You know, we've already talked to these people. You're going to be our guy, and we're taking you way too early. I'd love to see. I think a fun fit would be Vegas with the Raiders. I think that would be cool to see him and Pete Carroll. I already know people are drawing the connection with Russell Wilson and whatnot, but I think that would be a great fit. I think there's probably a few other teams that are a little bit further down the line that would make some sense too. I talked about it earlier, like the Steelers, I think would make sense too. If they want to stop rolling the dice on veterans, on minimum contracts and whatnot, and say, let's try to commit to a 5-year window here, that would make a lot of sense too. So I do think somebody ends up moving up to get him. I do see a world where maybe we are overreacting a little bit to him and somebody just takes him right where they are in the first round and they don't have to move up. But I think he is going to be a first round pick.
NFL overreaction or reality, the Browns are locked into a quarterback at the number 2 pick. Because, look, the changing of the Deshaun Watson contract, that is simply an accounting move. We've seen the Cowboys do that a couple of times. But there is some thought that they might be like, quarterback or nothing at number 2 pick.
I can see it.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, because that's so sad because of what that franchise has done with quarterbacks, ruin their lives, right? Like that's what they've done throughout their career is their history. How many are we on now?
65? Oh my God.
It's just the list.
Yeah. It's, so
there's
sad.
No consistency at the position, and they keep putting themselves in this place. And now, as guys are like, I want out of here, your most talent, you got to rebuild the team again before you can get a quarterback. That's what I'm looking at with Cleveland right now, is you still got to go back and do the other part or convince Myles Garrett that you're going to fix it right now. And I don't know if he's going to believe you.
Man, by the way, supposedly Cleveland is still pushing off those trade offers, just like the Bengals have gotten some questions about T. Higgins, and they're like, hey, we're not trading T. Higgins. And the other teams are like, I mean, but it kind of seems like you don't really think he's the guy. Alec, Cleveland, quarterback or bust at number 2?
I think so, because what other options do they have? The free agent quarterback class isn't great. So they could get a bridge guy, which is fine. But you know what a bridge leads to? It leads to something better, which is a rookie quarterback or a quarterback on a young contract, you know, later on a couple years down the road. So it's the only viable option here because they clearly don't believe that Watson, one, if he's ever going to play for them again, I don't think they believe he's going to be the same guy that they thought they were getting when he signed. So it doesn't make any sense. They're already maneuvering the contract to try to make it make sense right now to move on from him. They're going to have to deal with some of those dead money hits in the coming years. But oh, I think they know that. And how do you get around that? A rookie contract. Those cap hits are little to nothing until you get to that fifth-year option. So I think you have to take a quarterback here if you want to even pretend like you're being competitive.
NFL overreaction or reality, Sam Darnold to the Steelers makes winning sense to you?
No. And I'm just down on Sam Darnold. I think what you saw last year was product of the coach, Kevin O'Connell, saying, I'm going to squeeze what I can out of you. And then what you saw late in the season, you were like, oh. I do believe that he's better than the quarterbacks they have on their roster right now.
Okay.
But I don't think he's the quarterback that gets them to where they want to go. And that being said, Mike Tomlin is kind of looking at this going, man, I did benefit for a long time from having Ben Roethlisberger here, who wasn't the same quarterback at the beginning of his career, middle of his career, and end of his career. He was a different quarterback all three times.
Sure.
But that was a huge benefit of having that position secure. But I don't think Sam Darnold's the guy.
Alec?
With Sam Darnold, it's hard to bank on other people's homework and other people's investments that they made into someone to make it work. And to expect that to translate into a new system, into a new city, into, heck, even a new conference with Pittsburgh. To bank on somebody else's experiment working in your lab, that doesn't make sense at this juncture for Mike Tomlin, who half the city wants him out of there. He's got a statement to make. I do think you need to evaluate on your own. You need to make your own investment. You need to make your own experiment, like I was just alluding to, through the draft. That's how you do it. You re-sign Justin Fields to a really cheap contract. You say you're going to be the guy until proven otherwise. You try to find a guy in the draft. If it doesn't happen this year, I think the quarterback class next year is going to be a lot better. But with Sam Darnold, you know, the carriage looks real pretty until it turns back into a pumpkin, which you saw in week 18 and beyond. So I don't think it's going to work in Pittsburgh for Sam Darnold. Maybe again in Minnesota. I don't think it works in Pittsburgh.
Now, this is not NFL overreaction right here, but another key question. You guys want to pivot to stars?
Pivot!
Or college basketball?
Quick stars, and then we can end strong with college B.
Give me... What the hell? Did you just say college B?
BB.
Okay.
Basketball.
I just said... I thought you said we're going
to... MBB.
Gonna, yeah. All right. Give me cut number 9, will you please?
Johnston hits. They score! They beat the clock! 1/10 of a second was on the clock. Wyatt Johnston.
So, obviously, we've talked about this a lot for weeks and weeks. I guess probably now going on months and months that it feels like the best shot you've got at something before the Rangers start is the Stars. They've been on fire. They play the Flames tonight. So that
should, at home.
That should be interesting. But trade deadline. The trade deadline is tomorrow at 2 p.m. Central Time. So we had a couple of trade targets we wanted to ask about. But Corey, I know this caught your eye. Mikko Rantanen. He is a big name.
Yes.
That's available. But then the question becomes, is he more a big name? And you look at the production and you're like, I don't know.
Okay. And I guess the question of, is the production because of where he is? Because the production went from really good to he moved on and then it dipped.
Yeah.
And can him being back in an offense like the Stars be something that revitalizes that production? I always do wonder about adding somebody and how much time you have to get that to gel again. But and the way some of these lines for the Stars are working right now, you're like, I don't want to mess with anything offensively.
Sure.
And I'm, you know me, I am constantly trying to find a physical presence for the Stars. Just always. Like, this is what we're missing. They are a finesse hockey team for the most part. When it comes to getting hit in the mouth, they don't have that dude, or a couple of those different dudes. In my opinion, I still think they're lacking that a little bit. But then I thought, well, screw it. What if we just say catch up to our offense? Now, that being said, we did see Colorado try to do that, and they got thumped last year by the Stars. Oilers, they had the guy, though. Like, that's the thing, is he could produce offense whenever. But I asked the question, what are the obstacles of getting him, and would it be worth it? Because if the payoff is he could be an elite scorer again, you have a solid bunch that could add.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Hear some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Elite scorer. I was told this, Kevin.
Okay.
You're unrestricted free agent after this year.
Yep.
Currently makes $9.25 million.
Yep.
And that's going to go up. So he would be heavy on the books if you were going to sign him. And the Stars want to sign their own. So can you trade him and then move on from him because you're going to make a run here? Or you trade him and you're like, we're not resign. We got to resign this guy.
Okay. I have another idea for you then. If I can throw out a completely different section of the ice.
From the 469, Dallas Sports should stay away from all Nikos. So,
okay. That's tough, yeah. Just for the record.
Stars have a lot of goodwill right now.
Just for the record, it is Mikko Rantanen.
Okay.
With an M.
All right.
Not N. I don't know how much that changes.
It's close.
But if you cut that M in half.
Okay.
Yeah, just really go to close. The next letter. They're right next to each other.
Then maybe we'll trade for it. So if you want to make that distinguishment, I would like to take you to David Savard, the defenseman for the Montreal Canadiens. So Montreal Canadiens actually have a couple of players that I think people are interested in. It's Savard and Armia. I believe it's Armia. I can't remember his first name offhand. But the word on the street is they will trade one, but not both.
Okay.
So what is the appeal of David Savard? He has a $3.5 million cap hit, but again, you have, with the injuries and stuff, you have plenty of money to make that work.
The Sagan injury specifically
Correct.
Gives you a lot of freedom.
Correct. And then you can...
So we can do the Stone thing, right?
Yes,
we can bring Sagan back in the playoffs.
Technically, you could. Absolutely.
If his body can handle
Vegas
it.
Vegas has set up the way to circumvent the salary cap exactly like that. But he could also just move on in the summer. Now, depending on if you were just talking about you want to bring back your own or let them walk, he is great. On the penalty kill, and this is the part you're going to love the most, because this is going to remind you a lot of a player that we had last year. You know what he loves to do? Sacrifice his body to block shots. That is something that you would absolutely be pumped about on this team.
When we were talking about the Four Nations game,
yep.
The final, And I thought the U.S. was going to win when I started seeing defenders throwing their bodies down on the ice. And I was like, oh,
yeah,
that's the sacrifice we need. Last year, Tanev was that dude. And
yes.
You saw it was contagious. When Tanev did it, other guys were like, oh, yeah, that's a great way to lay down on the ice, give them a different thing to look at when they're getting ready to shoot. I've just created a space they can't shoot to. I love it. As long as physical presence comes along with it.
It does. And the Stars need depth defensively, especially on the right side.
Yes.
So I think Savard could fit in there. Not as flashy of a name, but that's a name that I believe is available. And I would love to see the Stars make a run at him.
All right. I have a question because we talk a lot about the defense. And I know Miro like is a beloved player.
Sure.
I don't think I'm going in a bad direction with this.
He's not going to be a defensive whiz.
What is his best skill set? Is it because he's like a technician and he's very good at like, hey, once we get into the boards, I know how to clear the puck well. What is his best quality that makes him such a beloved? Because I know he can score. I know he can move the puck up the ice. And I know sometimes that's not necessarily what you're asking. But when you have that guy, you're like, oh, like when you have a Zubov.
Yeah.
Zubov could get the puck up the ice as a defender, and it created lanes that not everybody could deal with. So what is that the thing that he does well?
I think people like the size to start, but also I want to make this clear. He's not a defenseman in name only. Like, he's not. But I do think people love his two-way skill set.
He's more
set.
Of a midfielder?
I can kind of see that because people love that. He plays defense.
He can play 200 feet.
Yeah, but he will also get involved on the offensive end. And I think there's a lot of people who love that, who romanticize
that. Then there are other people that are like, but if he could just stay back and not anything leak out.
Sometimes, I'm sure that thought crosses people. He's an excellent player, though. I don't want to diminish that at all.
I'm just trying to figure out what he does so that I can build around him even more with my defense.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And Alec, if you can, please give me cut number 6 because it's time for more college basketball.
Lob. Nelson has it blocked. What a play by Condon. And now Richard in the open floor gets the slam.
Last night, my game of note. By the way, feel bad for Chop. And this shows the crazy nature of the SEC. He said, why didn't you pick Ole Miss, Tennessee? Could have been a mistake from a watching perspective.
And you were like, they're a bunch of Nancys.
I did not say that. I do not know if that's even allowed in today's society. But Ole Miss upset Tennessee 78-76. So, Chop, that's why I didn't pick that game. But Florida, Alabama, did you get a chance to watch any of Florida and Alabama where they were like, you know what's stupid? Defense.
I did. And Florida's shooting was impressive last night.
Fact.
There were a couple of runs from Alabama that I was really impressed with. And I think that they're a very good team. I've seen them play other games that I've just been very impressed with. But it just seemed like it was home court advantage for that was at Florida, right?
I believe was at Alabama.
I don't know why. For some reason, I thought I saw more blue. My brain's off right now. But they look like they were in their groove shooting. If you're watching college basketball and you're used to watching NBA basketball, the shooting percentages are going to be different. Just understand that.
Unless you like Luka.
the shooting.
Oh, too soon. It is too sorry. Soon.
Yeah, just like
he hasn't been shooting well with the Lakers.
That Lincoln joke you're always telling. The shooting percentages are going to be lower. The layup shooting percentages are also the scoring's going to be different.
True.
But, dude, the way that these guys go full at it, like they're going at it, man. And that's the thing that I really have enjoyed the most so far is watching the effort from these college players the last 3 nights.
Now, this option is up to you because I know we're going to switch it up just a little bit.
All right.
Well, first of all, these first 3 days, have you enjoyed college basketball endeavor as it got you more hyped up for the tournament?
I have.
Okay.
I do feel like 2 weeks is a long way away still, but I have enjoyed this.
The tournament starts 2 weeks from today. The fake part
Are
of
you
the tournament.
Kidding me?
The fake part of the tournament starts 2 weeks from 2 days ago.
I thought, so hold on, is there a couple days without college basketball?
Yes. Yes, there is.
All right, so I can get a little break and get my breath in before the tournament.
But that
starts.
Time for your break is not right now.
Nope.
Because tonight, you can see how it'd take the easy path. and I would tell you to watch Michigan State and Iowa, because with Michigan's loss, I believe Michigan State can take the conference title outright if they win tonight. But instead, I'm going to tell you this, Corey. MVC, West Coast Conference, Sun Belt, a ton of other conference tournaments are going on. So if you want to lock in on some of these tournaments where, not all of them, but quite a few of them, this will be a one-bid tournament. So whoever wins the tournament, that's the only chance they have it to make it into March Madness.
Why do we not have the Indiana State Sycamores and the Southern Illinois Salukis playing right now?
It's a good point.
They're 50 seconds left in the first half. It's 45-43 Southern Illinois.
That is one of the MVC tournament games that I made reference to.
Why are we not watching it right now? You said it's on NBC?
No, I said the conference is MVC. I believe it's on ESPN Plus.
Mount Vernon.
No.
Area.
No.
Where George Washington's from.
Okay, no, I understood where you were going with all of that.
All right, there's, so you're saying tonight, though, also don't forget UNT and... hold on, give me a second.
Oh, no. I don't know who...
Charlotte.
Okay, I don't know who UNT is playing.
Everybody out there, text in if you know what Charlotte's letters are whenever they break it down to their... Yeah.
CLT?
Yeah, it's confusing. And so, like, it feels like it should be CHA, you know, instead of that.
You don't like it being CLT?
You in North Texas...
I like it just fine.
Uh-huh, of course. Yeah, it's...
So, I want you guys to appreciate what I just said, but also to enjoy your other, I think Carter did, to enjoy your other college basketball games for tournaments where you're not looking at a whole bunch of multi-team bids that are going to come out of there. But if you want to lock in on eight specific teams, I thought this was interesting. Sports Illustrated put out an article of their eight teams that can win the tournament. And you have seen several of them in these past couple days. Gonzaga, Iowa State, Michigan State, which you talked about going on tonight, Alabama, Houston, Florida, Auburn, and Duke. So what you hear right there is obviously a very heavy SEC contingent, and that tournament is just going to be an absolute war next week. But yeah, Sports Illustrated says Duke, Auburn, Florida, Alabama, Houston, Michigan State, Iowa State, and Gonzaga. They believe those are the eight teams that can win the tournament. Some notable exceptions, highly rated, Tennessee, St. John's, Texas Tech, UConn. They said, hey, they're good, but not good enough to win the NCAA tournament. Are you still taking in the magnificence of that joke?
There are a lot of people
that
know what we were talking about.
I appreciate that. Thank you for listening and listening very intently. So there,
I am the Charlotte Commander.
If you've seen that movie, I get that reference. So there is your college basketball update for tonight and for the day. And we'll see if we can get that Southern Illinois Indiana State game up on the TV before Corey gets really mad. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the CLT block starring Corey Majors.
It's just the C block. The great sportsmanship debate in a 14U hockey team. And PSA, do not play who can take the best punch. Next to the Fan.